Let's go again to our text on this series on grace and favor. And we look at the book of Ephesians again. In which Paul speaks about the times of the end times when God is revealing unto us in these days His great grace and favor. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. And we're looking at verse 8 to verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, verse 9 and 10 talks about this unsearchable riches of Christ, which from the beginning of the ages, it was hidden in God. But in verse 10, it says, to the intent that now, that's the word now, to the intent that now, the manifold wisdom of God. Everyone say now. Now. Thank you. Say that again. Now. Now. The last days. Before it was hidden. But now, we are told, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That is, to all the demon forces, to all the angelic beings. God wants to show His goodness and His mercy and His wisdom and His grace and His favor to the church of Jesus Christ in these last days. And that's His timing. Now, there is something that is happening that is in typology in the old that points to the new. So let's look at that in the book of Genesis. We first look at the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph is has many symbols that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers, rejected by his own brothers, it is a symbol almost of Jesus going to the cross for us. Now let's read that little passage in the book of Genesis. Chapter 37. And the Bible in John chapter 1 prophesies that Jesus came to His own, but His own rejected Him. Jesus came to His own people, that is the Jews, and they rejected Him. And then the gospel went forth to the Gentiles for a period of time. One day in the last days, the gospel will go back to the Jews again. But until the church age is completed and finished, that will not happen. Although there are Jews saved in the time of the Gentiles, they are still part of the church. And we're talking about the Jewish dispensation, the last 7 years that has not been fulfilled for them, that will be fulfilled when the Gentile age ends. Now in chapter 37 of Genesis, I hope you found that by now, it says in verse 24, they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there's no water in it. So they threw him in a pit. It's a symbol of them rejecting Jesus. Just as they rejected Joseph, and just as Joseph went into a pit, so the Lord Jesus Christ went into the worst pit of all, that is Hades, in order to redeem us and bring us forth. And then, if that is a typology, those who study typology in the Old Testament, that's a typology of Jesus going down, then the other parts of Joseph's life may have significance in the last days too, which we seldom see. But there is. And so we have Joseph going to Egypt in chapter 39. He's taken to Egypt. And just as the Jews rejected Jesus, and after the period of rejection, you see, Jesus came for the Jews first. For the first part of the 3 years, Jesus was ministering to the Jews. In fact, there were Gentiles who seek him, and Jesus says, I am come not but for the Jews, the Lordship of Israel. And that's what he said. And so he always said that statement in Matthew 10. He says, go not to the Gentiles, but go to the Lordship of Israel, as he sent them 2 by 2. But towards the end of his ministry, when he has completed his redemptive act, Jesus changed the dispensation, and he announced to the disciples in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, which we all know very well, when he says, go into all the world and teach the nations, make them disciples. In Mark it says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. So there's a change from the Jewish dispensation to the Gentile dispensation, where the gospel is going forth to the Gentiles. In fact, in the book of Acts, it tells you the transition. When the book of Acts began with the church age in Acts chapter 2, as the Holy Spirit came down, they were all primarily Jews and proselytes. But by the end of the book of Acts, there were more Gentile Christians than Jews. And that continues into the Gentile dispensation. You cannot, it's not like one thin line where you cross over. But you can see the progression from Acts chapter 1 and 2 right to Acts 28 towards the ending. There are more Gentile Christians than Jews. And right through the middle of the book of Acts, as Paul went forth to preach, many times the Jews' heart were closed, but the Gentiles were open. And notice what Paul said towards the end of the book of Acts 28. He announced, almost in a prophetic way, the prophecy of Isaiah, that the Jews' heart were hardening, but the Gentiles were opening towards the end. Because there was a change of dispensation to the Gentile dispensation, which will continue until the Gentile age completes in a rapture, then the Jewish dispensation begins again. So in Joseph, we see a type. After Joseph came out of the pit, he went to Egypt. Now, Egypt is the symbol of the Gentiles. Egypt represents the world, the other nations. And so when Joseph went down forth into Egypt, it was symbolic of Jesus going forth towards the Gentiles. The gospel now going forth to the Gentiles. And during that time, as you know, the gospel prospered. And the gospel has gone forth. Today, the gospel is carried primarily by Gentiles. And from Jerusalem, it has gone forth somehow or other through the church ages. At first, the church was primarily in the area of the Middle East, and slowly it spreads towards the north, to the Mediterranean areas, and at some point, it got the center of Christianity seems to be England at some point, and then slowly the center of Christianity moves, it is from Jerusalem, it moves to the north, and to England, and then it has moved to the west, to America. For a moment of time, we have seen how America, especially in the 20th century, seems to be the bulwark of Christianity. And between the 20th century to the 21st century, towards the end, we see Christianity mainly, primarily among the eastern countries again. Middle Eastern and Eastern countries, including Africa and Asia. Now there are more Christians in Asia and Africa than in the Western countries. And a lot of the world's biggest churches are no more in the Western countries. They're out in the Eastern region. So from the north, it has moved. From Jerusalem, it moved to the north, moved to the west, moved to the east, and it will move to the south. Asia-Pacific region, which is in the process of happening, before it finally moves back to Jerusalem as a bulwark of Christianity. You won't see overnight, but you see the transition taking place. And so Joseph is a symbol of the church to a very large extent. And so he goes forth into Egypt and he rises up from one place to another. In fact, he went through 3 different places. The first place he landed on was in Potiphar's house. And that was like Christianity, you know, being with one major area. And there are a lot of prophetic things that point forth to the last days too. And he's just in Potiphar's house, and it prospered and prospered. And then something happened. And you notice that Christianity went through a period of great persecution during the Roman Empire. And Joseph was thrown into prison. Now that cycle is repeated in many countries. Like in China, there's persecution. And then afterward, now they begin to accept parts of the church and still. And the church continued to grow. But generally, all over the world in church history, you see a period of great church persecution, persecution against Christianity. And so Christians were persecuted the whole world over. And it is just like Joseph being thrown into prison. In spite of that, he prospered. Christianity prospered and prospered until it became towards the time of Constantine, the official religion. And that was when the period of persecution ended. And the church entered a different period. And so there are cycles of those things happening. And then the third major area of Joseph's dominion was when he stood before Pharaoh. And I believe a large part of it points to some things that will take place in these last days. In the book of Genesis, we are told in chapter 41 that when they could not find anyone to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, they found Joseph because the time was ripe. And in Joseph's time, in verse 46, Joseph, chapter 41, verse 46 of Genesis. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food in the fields which surrounded them. Pharaoh was told that there will be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Now we went through a mini cycle of those 7-year periods towards the end of the 20th century. There will be another 7 years of plenty, followed by a 7-year drought, symbolically. Whether it be exactly 7 years, whether it be in a 10-year period, that I do not know. But one thing I know, there will be a period of prosperity, followed by a period of famine. Towards the end of the Gentile age. Now, what will happen before the period of famine comes is there will be a period of changing of the wealth of the world.